And while you folks make your way, to Psalm 117, the reason I had Noah read Psalm 100 was because Psalm 100 details, in many ways, Psalm 117. So these two Psalms I've sort of linked together for our purpose this morning in light of gratitude, thanksgiving, praise, all of these words we've been using interchangeably this month to highlight the theme of thanksgiving. Here's another list that someone made using the letters of thanksgiving. T, thank God for his goodness in every season. Pause on that for a moment. I won't ask for a raise of hands of how many of you enjoyed driving through the snow this morning. But in every season, we're to thank God for his goodness. H, honor him through humble gratitude. To honor someone is to humble ourselves. It comes from a position of humility in order to lift someone else up above us. Acknowledge, A, his blessings, both seen and unseen. N, nurture joy by focusing on his faithfulness. We'll touch on that this morning. K, keep your heart centered to praise. It's kind of neat that they stuck that sort of almost in the middle of the word, thanksgiving. Keep your heart centered in praise. S, share his love with open hands and heart. So we usually share from our heart vocally. We share with our hands materially. G, give grace as freely as you've received it. There again is humility. I, invite peace through prayer and stillness. And that's really what it requires. Lord, I'm restless. I'm struggling with being settled. I'm irritated. Of course, none of us would say that. Lord, I need peace, settlement. With irritation comes frustration. So invite peace through prayer. God, help me to be at peace. Rest my soul. Be still, my soul. V, value others as God's precious creation. Have you ever caught yourself saying, I can't believe they? What are they thinking? What are they doing? Well, they, like you, may be thinking the same thing about us. To consider each person as valuable as God considers them. Well, that's what makes God God. I can't, therefore I won't. No, that's certainly not the attitude behind that one. Value others as God's precious creation. We value God, therefore we value them or one another. I, in all things, trust his perfect plan. Sometimes we can embrace that, but sometimes we don't know what that looks like. We don't know what his plan is. Well, we're living his plan for the moment. Embrace it. Be thankful for it. Be thankful that you're here. Be thankful that you're listening. Be thankful you're watching through the live stream. We don't always appreciate every detail of life. We're not always settled with every season that we experience. But we can trust that it's his perfect plan. That takes faith. It takes having read the Word of God and embracing it for the truth that it is, because God is true. And never forget that his mercy endures forever. Now that we are going to park on at the very beginning of Psalm 117. And then lastly, grow in gratitude, for it does draw us closer to Him. Grow in gratitude. So that's sort of where we began this month, and this is where we will end. And in Psalm 117, the shortest, we don't call these chapters, these are psalms, they're songs from the Hebrew Psalter, the Hebrew songbook. Some of these were sung during the wilderness wanderings of Israel after their release by God out of Egypt. But on this final day, I want to challenge our hearts as we get ready to turn the page from the season of thanksgiving to the potential season of me getting. My wife asked me yesterday, do you want to support small businesses? I knew what she was leading to. And I'm saying this now because you know she's not here. But she will listen to this afternoon, I'm almost sure of it. I said, no, I support small business, but I will do it from home. It is easy and becoming so much easier to, I don't know how many emails I've deleted in the last 3 days, all advertising something. And our youngest daughter, who was with us on Thanksgiving, says, why don't you just unsubscribe? I said, I think I have. They're not listening to me. I should be used to that by now anyway. But they're not listening to me. But I think on Thanksgiving Day, I think I deleted over 50 emails. All looking to tantalize and entice with 25% off, 30, 50, even some 60, 70% off. You look at the price. That's still not a bargain in my book. But that's the season we're transitioning in. That is a part of the battle that we face in the changing of our culture, is more of this. I think I was in the sixth or seventh grade when the tables turned for me in light of this materialistic season. As a young child, the focus can be to think about what I can or might get for Christmas under the tree. Yes, I grew up in that traditional home where you encourage your kids to write letters to Santa and have a gazillion things that you wanted from him. And I won't tell you when that stopped, but that was the culture of the time. We were not heavily influenced by the Bible, though the Bible was shared and mentioned in our home. I remember going through the Sears catalog. How many of you remember doing that? Some of you are going, what? Was that a store? Was that a thing? What was that? Penny's had one as well. Things were about that thick. And you knew where to go as a kid, to the back. And you just look and look. And you know what that's doing? It's feeding envy. It's feeding covetousness. It's feeding unrealistic expectation. I got nothing I put on my list. You know, my kids used to say the worst thing to get for Christmas is underwear. But as a parent, you're just doing what needs to come and you just wait a little longer and you buy those necessities. But after my dad got right with the Lord, and I believe it was sometime in that time frame, sixth grade, junior high, somewhere in there, we were encouraged to participate with my mom in putting together a Christmas savings plan. basically we would get a certain amount for the chores that we did at home. And then that, and she'd add a little bit more to it, and then it would be put in there. And then in December, or the end of November, beginning of December, it would be dispersed among my two younger sisters and me. And it began to feed the mindset of giving rather than receiving. It was a Christmas savings account with the intention of saving money to give our family, to give each other gifts. Now, looking at that from the eyes of an adult, you're going, well, splitting $52 among three kids is not a whole lot. But back in the 70s, it took care of the business that needed to be done, which worked as we became teenagers and we were earning some money outside of just doing chores at home, began giving us thinking, encouraging us to look ahead with a desire to be a blessing to someone else. I'm grateful that I had that direction because it went into a little different direction as an adult. But it did help by providing an experience and an example. And it certainly goes beyond one day. You know, as I have grown in the Lord, as I've studied the Word of God, as I've gone through my Bible training, I realize that it wouldn't be a bad thing to not give anything on that day and to try to be a blessing on every day to someone, somehow, some way. But what did that do for me as a young person in our home, which was certainly in the stages of, I would say, mediocre to striving to be a mature Christian family? Is it set the focus on the theme of gratitude and thanksgiving. And that's what I want us to take away with this psalm. This psalm is a small, potent lesson that would have been sung. I got on YouTube and tried to see if anybody had a song that they put music to this psalm. And there was one, and I didn't necessarily want to embarrass myself, so I stopped trying to learn it. And I can just go home later on and listen to it if I want to. But some theologians believe that this was either at the end of Psalm 116 or was really to be the introduction to Psalm 118. But in the English is where it got divided. In the Hebrew, it would have been the tail end of 116 or the intro to 118. Nevertheless, this, whether it's an interlude or something along those lines, is worth our attention. Oh, praise the Lord. All of you who are enjoying life, all who are getting their way, all who are in church, all who have no problems. Now it says, praise, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. This is strange to me. We have to remember that the connection of the Psalter is directly connected to the Israelites, the Hebrew people. Did all the Hebrews believe practically in Jehovah? There are some examples throughout our Bible that would suggest no. Is it just saying in the first line, just the Hebrews? No, it says all ye nations. All nations. Gentile nations, heathen nations, idolatrous nations, God's demand is that we praise Jehovah God. And then praise him, all ye people. Those in this room, those in that room, and those outside this building. God has an expectation. There are no exceptions. That's what we see is number one here. There are no exceptions to praising the Lord. All people. In Psalm 66, and this statement's mentioned many times, but Psalm 66 and verses 1 and 4. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. And there's that italicized word Selah there. That is a musical term. It carries one of two ideas. Repeat or think. Pause and think. Now to the reader, I would lean toward pause and think about this. To the singer, it would be a repeat. Repeat for emphasis. And so again, Psalm 66 verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. If we're singing to his name, we're singing to him. And who's this for? For all people. Psalm 67 verse 3, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. God, that is God's desire. That is God's longing. If I can use that human terminology and attach it to deity. There's a sense of expectation of God to hear all his created beings, created in his image, to sing to him, to lift up their voices to him. How much more so for us who know him intimately by way of believing on Jesus Christ, his son, having this new life in Christ, being sealed by the Spirit who indwells us, who is not just idle in there, who's seeking to be active in us. How much more from our mouths should we be praising him? It thrills my heart when I hear with unexpectedly people acknowledging God and giving thanks to God publicly, maybe even nationally if they're on the TV or the radio, an unexpected person sharing this in an audience of mixed thoughts and religions and ideas. And yet there's a call to be thankful to him. The psalmist here is saying, just don't be thankful. Tell him. Tell him. There are no exceptions. All people are to praise him. Why? As my father used to say, when he told me to do something, and I'd foolishly ask the question, why? His answer was, because I said so. It's commanded. God commands this. He deserves it. It's not just the demand, but he's deserving. How did we get here? God. You can acknowledge it or not, but that's the only way we got here. Not by a fuzzy bacteria turning into something with legs and swinging along the way and this, that, and the other. God created us. Now there's something unique here in this psalm. The word praise is different from the one used at the end of the psalm. It means loud. Be loud. Loud in your acknowledgement to the Lord. Not timid, not quiet, not sit on your hands, but loud. not to the point of being obnoxious and in somebody's face, but loud in the sense that people have heard it come from our lips with the hope of them responding with, what are you talking about? Why are you saying that? Which opens up the door of an answer. It's more than just my thing. It's a God thing. It's God's will. It's His desire. Each of us can praise the Lord, and there are no exceptions. To be public in our testimony, not just with our lips, but with our lives. And folks, this is where the modern church is in trouble. Because the modern church today has backed away from this emphasis that our talk needs to be backed up with our walk. Well, what's that look like? Looks like Jesus. Now, that can be considered an overly simplified answer. But you study the Gospels. How did the Lord Jesus deal with opposition? How did He deal with cruelty? How did He deal with liars? How did He deal with those who sought to bring Him harm and ultimately bring Him to His death? Kindness, love, truth, grace, patience, long-suffering. How does that happen? Through the Spirit. Comes by way of the fact that a person who trusts Christ as Savior is not only indwelt by this Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit's intention to bring about fruit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ is real in our lives. Don't muzzle praise. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable unto Thee, O God, our Redeemer, and may it be lived out in our lives that others may know that Jesus matters to us. And it needs to be declared. It needs to be declared when we're going through the cashier, cashing out for our groceries. Again, we had some last moment things that my daughter and I went out to get. On a day like that, most cashiers are not smiling. Most of them are frustrated. They'd like to be home too. Kind word. Smile. The mention of happy Thanksgiving. The mention of God is good. The mention that God's given us more than we deserve. Opportunities. We have many more coming this next month. I've found more and more people are asking, how are you going to celebrate? What are you going to say?
Oh, we'll be home.
Doing anything special? Are we? Are you? We're celebrating Christ's birth. We're celebrating Him because without Christ, there is no Christmas. It's just a false, phony, empty day. Trying to fill it with some kind of happiness. Our kids need to understand this too. And this is not just a command, but it's a call on all people to honor God. All people. All nations. Not just the Israelites. Not just the church. Though the Israelites were the first ones who witnessed firsthand many good things and blessings from God. Get through the middle of Genesis and you read all the way through. You see how God showered goodness on the Jews and anyone who identified with his people. All people. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That is a promise. Paul mentions that for us in Philippians 2. Let's get started now and not wait till then. Do it now with meaning and appreciation and gratitude so that when that day does come in glory, it's just the overflow of a life of expressing praise and glory to God. Romans 15:11 is another detail that Paul brings to us. He's got this large section in Romans chapters 9 through 11 where he addresses his Jewish people. But in chapter 15 and verse 11, Paul writes as he's heading to finish this letter. Let's see if I have the right. That's 16, verse 15. Okay, found it. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Look back up at verse 10. And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people, the Jews. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, laud him, all ye people. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Psalm 117, repeated in the Greek. He mentions in verse 12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Why shouldn't we be rejoicing? It seems appropriate for us here, certainly in a morning service on a Sunday, the expectation is to be praising his name. The expectation is to be doing it together. We should do it loudly, more loudly. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Stop thinking about what you may sound like to someone else. Someone else doesn't matter. God does. Oh, pastor, you're just preaching. I am preaching. But it's true. Whether it's a husband or a wife or a friend or somebody sitting in front of your back, listen, God knows how to bless their ears. You're going to need to bless God. That's what we should do. Don't let timidity settle in. Consider the great things he has done with even his own countrymen being called to praise him and every Gentile to praise him. It's for all people. And failure to honor God in this fashion, there's a thought here as I've read through and studied and considered why God made such an emphasis is that throughout Scripture, with the expectation and the command is the expectation of God for obedience. And if we're not obeying, we're what? Disobeying. And does God pat us on the head and said, well, I know you just don't understand yet. No, it's very easy to understand this. We're to take our mouths, and I hope with a full heart of appreciation, and speak God's name and what he has done to others. Whether it's singing or whether it's just in simple conversation, talking one-on-one or in a small group or a large group. There are no excuses. Now, before I move on to verse 2,
Here's what I want us to think about in light of this is a call on all people to honor God. Is that when we fail to do this as a part of our lifestyle, shouldn't just be a segment on a Sunday morning, as I mentioned a moment ago. But failure to do this is failure to honor Him. We don't think of that. We just think of, this is awkward, this is weird, this is ridiculous, I'm making a fool of myself. I feel like I'm drawing attention to myself when I do that. But failure to do this will invite God to send trouble to the nations. Do you think that that might be the reason why our country isn't what it should be? And all the trouble that seems to be rising to the surface? God's making a lot of people miserable. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but God allows certain things to happen so that they become miserable. And they keep stretching and reaching, but they're never achieving. Again, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He's profited nothing. Failure to honor the Lord and to praise His name will invite God to send trouble to people. Not just those nations or this nation, but those people and this person. Failure to honor and thank God has consequences. Now that's something I hadn't considered recently until studying for this message. It may have immediate consequences. Not thankful for that, I'll take it. Would God do that? Would a loving God do that? Yes. For the believer, He does it because we're taking Him for granted. He'll take it away. And where do we usually find ourselves when those things are taken away? We're back on our knees praying for it. We go through this sad cycle that we pray for it. God in His mercy gives it to us, back to us, only for us to forget that God gave it to us and we're no longer thankful, and then the cycle continues. There comes a point in time that God no longer gives it back to us because we're not thankful. We're not expressing that. We're not acknowledging that. It has consequences. I don't know all the consequences. But I believe that God commands something and we don't obey, that there are consequences for disobedience. Even for the non-believer, the command is for all people. There must be a consequence for even those who are not presently trusting Christ. Maybe in that lack of acknowledgement, God allows a crisis in order to get the attention of them to call out to Him and really get serious about who God is, where they stand in their own life. Have you given a thought as to how you got to where you are in your life today? It's not because of you. It's because of God. God opened doors for you to learn certain things. God allowed for you to cross paths with a certain person, and now you're in this particular place of work. How did you get it even into that place where you're living? God worked that out. You may have thought you swung a good deal. God worked that out. How dare we think that we did it? God made it possible. Without God, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. But you have to know Him. You have to believe on Him. Does His Spirit live within you? That comes by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is not academic. This is personal. Personal. Well, why would God want me? He loves you. Why would God do this for me? Because He loves you. Say it back to Him. Thank you. Acknowledge, I don't deserve this. Every little thing, every big thing, every person, whether big in your life or small in your life, everything and person God has provided and given to you. Let our reaction be the action of praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving. Now, not only are there no exceptions to whom is to praise, but there are no excuses for not praising God. Verse 2, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. The word for there in the language of Hebrew and Greek can also mean because. So, let's kind of work through this. This is how I would do it. This is how I did do it as I was studying and putting the message together. Why should I praise the Lord as a person of a country, praise Him as an individual, or in my case, as a member of my family? Because His merciful kindness is great toward me. And the truth of the Lord endureth or endures forever. The end. Praise ye the Lord. There are no excuses. You don't know how hard I've had it in life. That is true if you say so. But God is still true as well. The truth about God, the truth about His expectations, the truth behind His commanding us is still valid. He has extended His tender mercies to all mankind. Tender mercies. There is a phrase or an idea that we have a hard time creating an image. We have the parable of the Good Samaritan. That Samaritan, who is a half Jew, half Gentile, both the Jews and the Gentiles couldn't stand the Samaritans. Here's a Jewish man who's in need. This Samaritan comes by and looks past all the culture and ethnicity and that person is the person who called him names. He still goes, takes care of him, carries him to a place where he can be taken care of, and then says, if there's anything else that needs to be, that he requires, let me know and I will pay for it. That's mercy. That's kindness. That's a tenderness. We men have trouble with that word from time to time. Watched a couple of you bring your babies into church this morning. You weren't holding it from its ankle and walking around. You were doing this, right? You're holding him or her. That's how God carries us, Christian. Safe in the arms. And you know what he wants to hear? Us talking to him. Whether as a babe in Christ we're just cooing, or we're a little bit older and we're speaking. Sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't.
Why should we praise him? His tender mercies to all people, Jew and Gentile, those who are Samaritans, if you will, mixed, who are living by trusting God, those not trusting him are also to praise. We mentioned that in verse 1. And we're to thank the Lord for his loving kindness. This word here again, merciful kindness, we see it down in thought there's another psalm here. I'll come back to it. But the idea of his mercy is his actions toward you and me, perhaps when we don't deserve it, they come by and assist us anyway. The person who pulls right out in front of you. Let me just give it an example here. This hasn't happened that I know of. But you go out this driveway, you turn left, you come to that wonderful stop sign on the Sunday afternoon, and you're trying to go left. It's a lovely experience. And so you're getting ready to make that left-hand turn. Here comes somebody on the eastbound side. They pull in that middle lane and pull right out as you're trying to make the left. And your first thought is, they're in a hurry. They needed that opportunity. But once you finally get yourself into the median, then you're able to get over. And somebody from the left side pulls right down and right in front of you, and you find out that both of you are going to Starbucks. Now, there are two things that can come to your mind. Oh, I'm going to give it to them. I'm just wish I could just tap their bumper with my car. And, of course, with the thought, I'm going to spread the love of Jesus. But somehow the two of you, as you make your way into Starbucks, they get behind you. You're now in front. Now the thought occurs to you. You're in the flesh. I mean, you are drowning in the flesh. And God kind of puts a thought in your mind. You know what? Why don't you pay for them? What? Are you kidding me? They just practically ran me off the road, been giving me the business the whole way down here. Me pay for them? Yeah. So you roll down the window and you say, I want to pay for them as well as mine. That's merciful kindness in action. God's mercy has been great over us. It's been great over the people of Israel, for sure. This is an appeal based on history, biblical history. His story begins with mercy. It's not only begun with mercy, it's sown together by his mercy. And it concludes with his eternal mercy that takes believers to their eternal destiny, which we don't deserve. His mercy, taking it in the first person of the psalmist here, is great toward us, the Jews, the Hebrews. And he is referring to the fact that back in Genesis 41, all the way through to the end of Genesis, God uses a famine and then uses Egypt to protect the 70 among the Hebrews, not just to feed them, but to protect them, which ultimately would grow. By the time we get into Exodus, we find out that there could possibly be close to 2 million Hebrews who have grown from 70 and dying to 2 million. That mercy is exemplified in the way in which he protected Israel from becoming extinct. It includes his deliverance from enemies. You and I have been going through the journey of Joshua. And not only in Joshua do we see God's hand of deliverance from the enemies, but you go from Samuel, you think of David and Goliath. It wasn't the stone that killed Goliath. It was God putting power behind that little stone and poking it right through his skull to show victory over the enemy. You read through not only Samuel, but Kings, Chronicles, you find ways in which God had shown his mercy in delivering his people from enemies. Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, in verse number 1, we find here that this mercy of God includes his faithfulness. The mercy of God includes his faithfulness. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That verse is a great summary verse to Psalm 117. I will sing praise of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known, praise, testify thy faithfulness to all generations. Not just his merciful kindness do we find here, but we also find his truth. He has expressed his truth. And this is where Psalm 100 comes back into play. Verse number 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'm so glad that God's word did not stop in Malachi. I am so thankful that the word of God just wasn't one copy put in a museum somewhere, or just having one sheet of it, one portion of scripture found somewhere along life's journey. That's all I had. I'm so thankful that it's all been preserved. It's all been kept by the hand, the mercy of God. Why would you call that mercy? Because it's through his book that we learn about ourselves, we learn about him, and we learn about his gift. And learn how to live life the right way. Learn how to parent biblically. Learn how to have a marriage biblically. Learn how to be single biblically. Learn how to deal with broken relationships biblically. Learning how to deal with people who are opposed to God biblically. Every page of Scripture is another token of God's mercy, representing him as the truth, declaring to us truth. John 14:6, of course, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. All God is truth. His word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Praise him for that. God is truth. I mentioned a while ago that one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, really beginning with verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There it is, truth. The law of the Lord is truth. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That's his word, truth. And that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. What ways? The ways of truth. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Commanding to obey precepts is a command to obey his word, truth. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And it goes on and on. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous, true judgments. I will keep thy statutes. I will obey them. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. Truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 86, verse 15. There's the verse I was looking for earlier. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. What's the psalmist telling us here? That God is full, overflowing, abundant with compassion. There's the word mercy. Gracious. Tender, long-suffering. God suffers long with me. I often think this, I'm still alive. In my mind, there are many places and parts of my life I should be dead. That's how I feel. But he's plenteous in mercy and truth. If we let that sink in and meditate on it and let it run its course through our lives, how can we keep our mouths quiet about God? To God first, and thanking him for who he is and what he's done. Secondly, and telling others who our God is and how wonderful and great and truthful he is. God's tender mercies have been constantly exceeding for you and me. Endures forever. It exceeds the norm. The fact that we are here today and have a past to reflect on how God has prepared us for such a time as this is worthy of thanksgiving. We all have different histories, but it's all real. How did we get here? On Tuesday night, the folks came up with, I've got more on the back, but came up with all these praises. Just look at a few of them. The Holy Spirit guides us in truth. Salvation. The people that God has brought into our lives. How God has sustained us. Some of you know about that very much this year. I really like to know more detail about the one who brought this. God corrects us. That's probably more personal, so we'll just leave that alone. But he wants us to grow. And those corrections can come in all different forms and in all kinds of different degrees. But it ultimately is because he loves us, he's compassionate, because and it all involves us growing. God doesn't give up on us. I mean, this is just a powerful list. The fact that we can go to God directly in prayer and this phony business about having to go through another person in order to get to God, what heresy. God revealed that at the crucifixion. The temple, the curtain in the temple between the holy
place in the Holy of Holies was rent in two. Access to God for all who come to Him through His Son. We don't need somebody to pray for us. We need somebody to pray with us. We will pray for you, but we're praying with you for a matter, for a need, for a concern, for a crisis, for an unknown matter. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." God's truth has been spoken. It's been recorded. It's been preserved with the intention to transform us to such a point that in the transformation detail, it's impacting our living, our thinking, our way of life. The way we organize life, the way we organize our finances, the way in which we prioritize relationships. Where do we put work in life? It's not at the top, by the way. God's the priority. God, everything else doesn't matter. You need to arrange it how you want it. Give me the grace to embrace it and live it. Now, that's good preaching, but it's hard practicing. I've got my own stories. I'll not bore you with them. These fingers, figuratively and literally, at times, need to be pried off of things, ideas, stuff, people, in order for me that my priority would always be Him. But it's He leads me through His truth. And all of this is preparing us with these final two passages of Scripture. Will you turn to Revelation with me? Revelation, beginning in chapter 5. Let me help set the stage here for you. The book of Revelation is written by the Apostle John, who was exiled to Patmos. We believe that before he died, he was the last of the living apostles. All the rest had been martyred. God gives him this vision. It's a heavenly vision. It's a vision about the future, part of the present, but future. It's as if the curtains of heaven are pulled back. John the Apostle has the opportunity for the Lord Jesus to teach him and to show him, and he's to record it. And so we're now in chapter 5. We're peering in through the same windows of heaven that John saw. He's recording this, and here's what he sees when the saints have made their way to heaven and they sung a new song. You know, we sing new songs too. The world's songs are not new songs. The new songs are the songs of the saints singing about the Savior. Not materialism, broken relationships, immorality that the world is appealed to. And they're singing a new song that says something significant. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You can praise God for the future too. Thank Him. I don't understand all this, but one day I'm going to be in a position of some sort, but I'll be included with everyone who's ever called on the name of the Lord to be saved to sing praise to Him. For He's redeemed us. Then Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10.
We're a little bit further into this, and I believe this section still includes the seals that were going to be becoming opened. Some of the details are a little confusing, but Lord willing, 2026 we'll begin a study in this. I hope you're ready for the long haul. Revelation 7, 9 and 10, after this I beheld, this is John, and lo, a great multitude, lots of people, which no man could number, of all nations. See the connection? Psalm 117, all people, all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. And the white robe sing his glory, and palms in their hands, in acknowledgement of being present with deity, someone mighty, someone of royalty, and cried with a loud voice, saying, here are these saints, great multitude, can't be numbered from every place. Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, Jesus. We are going to be involved in an eternal opportunity of praising him, glorifying him, acknowledging him, singing to him. And this is what we do on a Sunday morning makes this a little bit of heaven. Because it doesn't happen much outside unless you make that commitment in your home. It's time for a little taste of heaven, family. We're going to sing. It may be the weirdest sounding sound you've ever heard in your life, and you certainly wouldn't want it recorded, but it's going to be wonderful in the ears of our God. This is what this life is all about. We're moving forward as much as we're battling here, and we're wrestling here, and we're asking the Lord, keep our focus, keep our focus, keep our focus on you. Each and every one of us has the blessing to praise his name. Let's not only finish the month out, but finish the year out with that on our mind, weighing on our hearts, being sounded forth from our mouths. Are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to bring it all together and make that part of your exercise? Fit it in your devotional time, fit it into your family time. At least make a day of it. Sing unto the Lord the new song. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing our attention to this little psalm. A psalm that has truth like a cannon. It's penetrated our lives today. May you help us to effectively work this out in our lives, to see our place, to see where you've commanded us. May we make that commitment. May we make this an exercise as individual believers each and every day. The trap is to get lost in background noise versus embracing the blessing of speaking truth to you, your truth. Crying out in times of frustration and hurt for the strength to sing your praises, even when we're hurting, when we're lonely, when we're overwhelmed, when we feel like we're suffocating. May we always sing your praise. To sing praise God from whom all blessings flow. And to see that you have truly blessed us. And we claim that
And we desire to be faithful in praising you and your good name and your Son, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb that paid for our sin. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to do some introspection as we close the service. Help us to make those commitments in prayer, even now, that we would grow in this. This doesn't happen automatically, but it has to happen. We have to commit to it. May we do so with the desire to honor, please, and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close.